For Cybercrime Radio, I'm Amanda Glasner, Deputy Editor at Cybercrime Magazine. Today's episode is sponsored by Adaptive Shield. Committed to enabling enterprises to continue adopting SaaS applications while staying safe, Adaptive Shield's SaaS Security Posture Management and ITDR platform enables security teams to stay on top of their core SaaS apps, third-party connected apps, identities, and any unusual behavior in their SaaS stack. To learn more about our sponsor, visit adaptive-shield.com. Joining me is Heather Engel, Managing Partner at Strategic Cyber Partners. Heather, welcome.
Hi, Amanda. Thanks for having me.
So the U.S. National Institute of Standards and Technology, or NIST, cybersecurity framework is one of the world's most important guidelines for securing networks. It can be applied to any number of applications, including SaaS. Could you give us some background on SaaS applications and general security best practices?
Yeah, definitely. So SaaS applications is software as a service, and this is becoming more and more common for a number of reasons. First, it makes sense for organizations. You have kind of a shared infrastructure across a number of different organizations. You can get software that then you don't have to actually have it installed. It's a cloud-based product, but then there can be some difficulties with securing that. So one of the challenges, you know, when you're trying to secure a SaaS application is there's different settings found in different applications. So if I'm trying to develop a configuration management policy, I'm going to have some differences and discrepancies across different types of applications. When we talk about the NIST cybersecurity framework, that's a great overall framework that gives us just a set of standards that we can implement according to our risk tolerance. And so when I start to look at that application, I can look then at who's accessing it, what is it doing, what type of information is being stored, what does my shared responsibility matrix look like? Because when I'm using software as a service, the service provider has some responsibilities for security as well. So again, there's lots of benefits with using a SaaS product, and the NIST cybersecurity framework can help us in a really holistic way get an understanding of what else we need to do to secure some of those applications.
Right. And how does the NIST cybersecurity framework apply to SaaS applications?
Well, as I mentioned, you know, the NIST cybersecurity framework is a great overall framework. It touches on a lot of different things, and all of those things build on each other. So we can look at something like user access, and then from there, we build on allowing those users to have more granular access based on their roles. We look at things like how we respond to incidents. We look at, as I mentioned, the type of information that's in there. And so the cybersecurity framework will allow us to apply those different things to SaaS applications in a way that allows us to sort of take what we need. And then if the application provider in their shared responsibility matrix is taking care of some things, you know, we can look at the NIST cybersecurity framework and say, okay, that's something that's handled by the application provider, but here's a layer that we need to put on top of it to really make sure our data is secure.
And when it comes to the challenges in securing SaaS apps, could you tell our listeners about some of those considering their diverse settings?
We already talked about the one, you know, where we have a lot of diverse applications, so it can be difficult to apply a universal configuration management policy. You know, external administrators introduce a new layer of uncertainty into SaaS security. These are personnel that sit outside of your organization, so we don't control necessarily the password policies or the authentication tools that the service provider might be using. So when we have an external IT company or we're outsourcing, those individuals aren't considered external, but we do, again, have administrators on the other end where you've got the application providers, the SaaS application providers, who do have the ability to impact the security of the system. There's a lot of steps that we can take, and I think we'll talk about those here in a second, to secure the application.
Right. And would you be able to elaborate a little bit on the importance of role-based access control, or RBAC, for SaaS security?
Yeah, for sure. This is something that we look at anytime we have an application that has any type of critical information in it. And so role-based access control just means that I have a very specific function, and I typically have a need for some data, but not all data in the system. And so by looking at that and having an understanding of what I actually need to access and what I don't, then I protect the information that I don't have access to. So for example, if I'm a systems administrator and I'm administering the application, I might need to know how it works from a security perspective, but maybe I don't need access to personal information that's in the information system or that's in the SaaS application. But let's say it's an HR SaaS application and there's a lot of personal data in there. If I'm an HR professional, I do need access potentially to that information. I might need to have access to social security numbers, and I might need to know how much that person makes so that I can run payroll and things like that. So I'm going to have different access and different roles within the system than someone who is a systems administrator that's making sure the system as a whole is running. And it's important that those two users have different views. They can see different information and they can accomplish different things.
And to build off that a little bit, why should organizations be cautious about external administrators in SaaS environments?
Well, for one thing, the external administrator, you know, you don't have a lot of control over what those administrators are doing. In a lot of cases, the SaaS application may have their own set of security controls. So what we see a lot with cloud-based applications is sometimes they'll have gone through the U.S. government FedRAMP process, which states that they've been certified to a specific set of security standards. We'll see other things like SOC 2. That's a pretty common one. We'll see ISO 27000 certifications. So those are some of the things that, you know, we look for in terms of evaluating applications. And finding a company that's offering a SaaS product or a SaaS application that has been through or can show you that they have done those certifications or attestations can go a long way in helping us to understand what the true risk of an external admin is.
Absolutely. So, Heather, to close, I want to read a quote from Adaptive Shield's CEO and get your thoughts. Here's what he said. To be effective, SaaS security touches on risk management, identity governance, endpoint protection, and threat detection. It's a new segment in every organization and represents the most common attack surface. The guidance provided by NIST's framework is instrumental in securing all those elements of SaaS applications. What do you think?
Yeah, I absolutely agree with this. We used to have a majority of our equipment and our networks on-premise, which meant that those computers sat in a server room where we could touch them, we could see them. We knew where the data was to a certain extent, or we knew where it lived. As we shift into more software as a service, infrastructure as a service, putting things in the cloud, we have less control. And in some ways, that's a good thing, right? That means that we're outsourcing some of the security functions to a company who is just focused on the security for that product. But the flip side of that is we don't really know what they're doing. So looking at things like I just mentioned, what types of certifications they have, do they have a shared responsibility matrix that gives us more information as to how they're securing that data, that can really help us on the side of looking at what the service provider is doing. But then for us, the guidance provided by NIST framework really helps us ask the right questions, not only of the service providers, but of our internal IT who's overseeing these applications. And we can look at that framework and we can say, here are the areas where we think we have the biggest risk. And so these are the things that we want to focus on. So yeah, absolutely a great quote. And the implication that SaaS security really touches on all of those things, risk management, identity governance, endpoint protection, those are all aspects of the NIST framework.
Heather, thank you as always. I'm looking forward to catching up with you again next week.
Thanks, Amanda.
For Cybercrime Radio, I'm Amanda Glasner, Deputy Editor at Cybercrime Magazine. Today's episode was sponsored by Adaptive Shield. Committed to enabling enterprises to continue adopting SaaS applications while staying safe, Adaptive Shield's SaaS Security Posture Management and ITDR platform enables security teams to stay on top of their core SaaS apps, third-party connected apps, identities, and any unusual behavior in their SaaS stack. To learn more about our sponsor, visit adaptive-shield.com. For more of our media, visit our website at cybersecurityventures.com.